Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Real talk. If we want to break this down, hottest NHLers, I've got three categories. Dads, 35 and older. Team North America,
so Mike Fisher,
Stallions, you know, like 18 to 23, and then everyone else. So let's go. Let's do it.
After dark, baby, here we are.
Hello and welcome to season 2 episode 25 of the Brews and Bruins podcast. Brews and Bruins After Dark. We're recording at almost 1 a.m here on the East Coast. For those of us that are on the East Coast, my name is Cam Hasbrick, joined as per usual by the one and only Chris Gear, who apparently looks to be zooming in from the pits of hell, but in the bottom of the ocean or something. I'm not sure what's going on.
I think my new webcam, which doesn't do the cool Instagram filter thing, is now doing a very weird Snapchat filter thing. Doesn't handle low light very well, but
yeah, Ocean Man. Looks the cool Instagram filter kind of felt like
Ocean Man.
I don't know, like you were on like a light drug that was kind of nice, you were just vibing with it. This is like you're having a really bad trip and you are somewhere you do not want to be. So
enjoy, people who are watching this.
Yeah. And so Drew is not with us tonight. He is recovering from a stubbed pinky toe, an LBI, lower body injury.
But if you've heard of turf toe, this is sand toe. It's way worse.
There you go, an ice toe, which I guess is just frostbite. But anyway, we've replaced Drew with somebody much better. It's Nick Lanciani, great friend of the pod.
Nothing that much better, but I'm pretty good. Pretty good. How about yourself?
I am doing well. I'm personally flying high tonight because I just ordered some sick shit, which your shirt is reminding me of, Lancey, with the Crack Bear.
Yeah, so I just got this t-shirt this week. It's the greatest thing I've ever received from other people. But early birthday to me.
You know what else is nice to get, Lancey? Money. You know who can get you money? DraftKings. Look, you've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. This week is jammed-packed with action, ranging from basketball to golf, and DraftKings has plenty of ways for you to have a front-row seat to all the action. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it is simple to do. Just draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all platforms, and DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using the promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
Lancey, I see you're drinking. This is the Brews and Brews podcast.
What
are you drinking?
I started doing this an hour before we got on this call.
That's the way to
do
it.
It's a I true fired Brews and
Brews spirit. Yeah.
This is from Old Nation Brewing Company, which I believe is of Michigan. It's a New Orthodox India Pale Ale Series, double IPA, Boss Tweed. It is a 9.3% alcohol by volume. All that other stuff that I probably can't read now.
Not fucking around.
It is a heavy hitter.
That is a not fucking around beer.
It is the DH of hockey beers, if that will make sense.
It's the Nick Ritchie of hockey beers.
Yeah, power play specialist. On pace for 22 goals this season. You'd love to see it.
It's the big beefy boy of beers.
I will probably end up being just like Nick Ritchie if I have too many of these. And that's not a shot at Nick Ritchie. He is athletic. Beefy, athletic.
Shouts to Big Fudge.
Right. Oh, also it's a 37 because all beers are 37 to me.
That's excellent. Well, speaking of 37 beers, if you want to go get yourself 37 beers, great place to get them. Save More Spirits. The Bruce Burns podcast, sponsored, of course, by Save More Spirits. Check them out for all of your beer, wine, and liquor needs. They have all of the macro breweries, as well as a healthy offering of local beers and craft beers from all over, including Michigan, I think. I don't know. That sounds about right.
I'm guessing they probably have Bell's Two Hearted Ale out of Kalamazoo.
I'll check it out next time I'm there. Where? Locations. Somerville, Medford, Cambridge, and Malden. If you want to learn more, check out SaveMoreSpirits.com. That's save and more without an E, folks. SaveMoreSpirits.com. You can also do online ordering at Minibar and at Drizzly. Get this free delivery on your first Drizzly order
with the promo code
Brews and Bruins. Go literally get that.
Seriously,
Bruins, and Bruins with an ampersand, no spaces. Get some free drinks from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Chris, what are you drinking?
Hello. I have a Staff Magician New England style pale ale from McKellar, San Diego. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
So it's not super hoppy. It's definitely pretty easily distinguishable from an IPA, but it does have that haziness of a New England style beer. It has a little bit of juiciness to it. Drinkability, very high. It's like a 33 on the drinkability, 5.5% alcohol. It's very smooth, inoffensive in every way possible. Taste, I would like more out of the taste. Yeah, it's not super flavorful. There's not much going on there. Give it a 9.
Oh, all right. At first, I was thinking kind of a Jake DeBrusk, where, you know, very inoffensive. Just it seems like a guy you can get along with easily. And you said you want a little more flavor. And much like Jake DeBrusk, you just want a little more from him.
But, if you're talking non-offensive, you're talking Don Moore.
Goal scoring problem currently.
I didn't think of it that way.
Might be the closest to a shitting on your own team episode, which could end up being problematic.
Yeah, this is going to be a, oh my God, we've lost two games.
We just timed this right, didn't we?
We're going to do it today
on the worst back-to-back series that we've seen.
Hey, Cam, what you drinking?
I'm drinking a Harpoon Rec League. I've had it on the podcast before.
It's delicious.
It is like the name implies. Rec League, you're out. This is definitely a beer you can drink in beer league, first of all, for hockey. But if you're out in adult kickball leagues or spike ball or whatever it is the young adults of America do these days during the non-COVID times, we can ask Nick Lanciani about that in a sec. But it is, as the name implies, hoppy, hazy, light, very, very good. I like it a lot.
I feel like I'd relatively want to add to your any adult. It could be like any adult, 21 year older, that does anything can drink this. It's great.
That's pretty much it. I like this because it's relatively cheap. It's like reasonably priced. Not like Bud Light cheap, but like I think I got a
better than Bud Light
pack of this. Yeah. I got like a 15 pack of this for like $17. You know what I mean? Not bad at all. But it's not like for the price and the lightness that you have to it, it's not like you're drinking like a insert generic brand name here, so I don't ruin a potential sponsorship for us down the road. It's not like a shitty light beer, you know what I mean? It actually tastes with like a lot of flavor, but still very light. Long way of going about saying drinkability up there for sure. Given the flavor, even like extra points, because
it really is just light.
You're gonna get the good old shootout win point.
Drinkability, I'm giving it a 34. Very strong.
Don't mind me just fucking around with my lighting over
here. Yeah, I wasn't sure what's going on there. Maybe you were trying to tell me something.
The source. I put my hands up, my lighting goes blue.
Based solid 26. Very good for how light the beer is. You can really taste it, but I'm not going to pretend it's like an IPA. You know what I mean? Delicious beer, though. Really good stuff. Shout out.
26. Is that John Michael Lyles?
I think it
was at one point in time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, nowadays, go check out my John Michael Lyles tweet from tonight because he's.
Is that why I'm like, how do you know this?
I don't remember his number from what I saw him tonight. What I saw him tonight.
Chris has got it tattooed on his back. He's got like a jersey tattooed for John.
I love John Michael Lyles. And this is why I just saw him on the Avs broadcast between periods. And he has a segment where they just cut to him in his wine basement, his crushing wines.
He's crushing wine.
I had it on mute, so I couldn't tell what was going on. We got to ask the Avs guys at THPN what's going on there.
I mean, a whole episode about this.
Everything is going on.
I was having like a little game night with my friends, but we had the Avs game on in the background and just in between periods. Like I was like, is that John Michael Lyles? And yeah, it was. And then suddenly he brings up this chalice of wine. He's just like fucking pounding it.
It sounds like we need to get John Michael Lyles and Mark Recchi together. So I'm just saying, future content for you guys. Now, Recchi, you know, being under contract with the New Jersey Devils as assistant coach, they might frown upon that. But wait until the offseason and you can make it happen.
Yeah, I think we can.
Because exactly. It's the offseason or because he's going to get fired or something? Well, what was the implication there?
Bobby Margarita rules apply in the offseason in the hockey world. You can pretty much.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, that's true.
So wait until then and just get Mark Recchi and John Michael Lyles drinking a ton of wine. And hey, I might even ask to be on that night too. Be like, what do you guys recommend as someone who normally doesn't drink wine other than Christmas Eve?
I do love wine.
I'm a wine guy. Well, yeah. We should do a wine episode, excluding Lancey, because he doesn't
need
like
to get
wine.
Into it more.
Yeah, I actually would be down. I don't know if I feel like Drew's got he's got Italian blood in him. You know, I feel like he's got to be.
Well, I mean, also wine gluten free. Like that's got to be a thing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Any gluten-free alcohol is going directly into Drew's veins.
I will never say no to Prosecco.
See, Prosecco's too sweet for me. I'm more of a like dry reds guy. Yeah, I'm a red wine guy, but I'll drink white wine for sure. I just we have a wine cabinet, and it's a lot easier to keep red wines at the right temperature than it is to keep white wines at the right temperature. So it's kind of a hassle.
See, our wine just sits around the house until some Christmas Eve when I decide, hey, I'm having this now. No idea if it's good or not. I just have it.
Better than not having it.
Exactly. <You know?
laughs> Pretty good rule. Speaking of not having it, the Bruins have not had it this week, from what I'm told. I have not been able to watch a game this week, admittedly, because my new work hours are not letting themselves to.
Yeah, so the reason why Drew's not here is because we're recording at some absurd hour. Drew wasn't going to be able to record anyway, but this is when we are allowed to record now because of Cam's work schedule.
Yes, although to be fair, it will normally be earlier than
we called
1 a.m.
We called to the bullpen. We had to get Lancey out here.
It was up until 6 in the morning, so.
We know he's awake at any hour. He's the closer when the game goes until 2 in the morning.
Yeah. I am like Jonathan Papelbon, except not, because he pitched like 9 innings ago, and it's the 18th inning of a game that you just want to see end someday, whether it's today, tomorrow, you just want to see it end so you can get on with your life.
So you're Nasty Nate Eovaldi, where...
Yeah.
Or my Mitch Moreland going out to the mound because you have nobody left.
It's the 18th inning. You need somebody to just serve up the last home run to end it.
Yeah.
Like, the number of times I'd work extra inning games at Fenway, let me tell you, Oh, thank you, Hanley Ramirez, for ending one of them on a good note. The others, not so good.
I went to an Ellsbury extra innings game where like Ellsbury ended it in extras.
Well, it was with the Sox, I assume.
And then he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, it came after he left the Red Sox. He didn't play a single MLB game ever again.
Never existed.
Yeah, not at all. Just injuries.
It's like ribs, how some people on Bruins Twitter are like, Zdeno Chara, who's that? And then the rest of them are like, oh, you just is what you get. And it's like, hey, you know what? If you just broke up with someone and it's like 3 months later, I think you should move on.
This truly
if
is.
If all his life were that easy, right, Lancey?
I have no experience in saying any of this, but I just, you know, I'm the one with a communication degree. So I understand how people should work, but I don't know how they actually work.
Love it.
Speaking of knowing how things should work.
The academic knowledge of interpersonal communications.
No, but seriously, every night on Twitter now, people are like, oh, this is what you get. And it's like, yeah, okay, I get that. You can argue, well, you know, the defense is going to be this bad all the time now. Not necessarily. I mean, this is what you get when you have half your defense on injured reserve.
Yeah, that would happen with or without Charlie.
We've been singing the praises of the depth defense over the last few episodes, saying like, all right, without Chara, Krug, Grizzlick, like you're getting pretty good defense from these guys. And
but then when anyone goes down, there goes your depth.
Once you get one more, like Lauzon out for weeks, whatever. I don't know. I was watching Vaakanainen play in both the Lake Tahoe game and maybe the game after that, and thinking, okay, like he was having a mediocre season in Providence, and he's getting the call because he needs to be there because who else is going to be playing? And they throw him on the top line with McAvoy. And part of me is thinking like, okay, maybe this is a situation like Jakub Zboril where he's like, yeah, playing in the AHL sucks because everybody around you sucks. So like if my defensive partner sucks, like obviously I'm not going to play well. And maybe like just putting that guy on the top pairing with Charlie McAvoy, you get like, obviously you get your bumps and bruises, you get your bad turnovers, you get your own goals. I mean, overall, I think he's looked okay. And then I think eventually it might turn into one of those things where like with Jeremy Lauzon, where it was like, okay, maybe this guy's like actually good on his own. Like, are we sure that it's all McAvoy playing with him? And I think that can be, I mean, Cam, you've been talking about like McAvoy has been the guy for a while and maybe was kind of masking the deficiencies of Chara rather than the other way around for a little bit. And he brings enough to the game where like, maybe he can do that for a guy like Vaakanainen and give him that transition period to be able to figure it out.
Yeah, I think when McAvoy came up, the storyline was for so long like, oh, they're sticking it with Char, and it's like the young, you know, it was the passing of the torch was the narrative, right? It was Brad Park, the captain, Ward, old guy, exactly. Chara passing the torch,
Dennis Weidman passing the torch to Joe Corvo,
exactly. The German
that
hammer.
Actually would not have worked because Weidman was, you know, gone in 2010, and Corvo came in 2011, 2012.
Fucking fine, Chris, man.
Goddamn.
Like, back by a year.
Yeah, fuck you, Chris.
Corvo does CrossFit these days. He's like just getting shredded out of his mind. It's great.
All right. Well, who did Wade Redden pass the torch to then?
Well, he was the same time as Greg Zanin. So then they had Stefan Monteau at the same time as that. So they would have really passed it off to basically Torrey Krug because Krug was signed as a free agent and then he really came in the 12-13 lockout short in 48 game season. It's a bunch of fun times, you know. For some reason, I remember the rosters that do not matter whatsoever.
That's what you're here for, man.
That's what we love. That's how we're like fill time. It's like me to the weatherman. Like,
throw it to
Lance.
Throw it to Lance. Figure out exactly what player was on the roster.
If we get to it, I actually wrote down before this the defenders that played at least one game on the 2015-16 team and 2007-2008 team, because it will become relevant if we talk about goaltending at all. But anyway,
We'll talk about goaltending.
Well, now we're going to, yeah. Absolutely.
I wasn't
perfect
going
segue.
To.
But... I meant to do that. No.
Circling back, anyway, yeah, I think McAvoy's been the guy for a while. I think the narrative of Chara passing on the torch was just, it was the narrative, and people stuck with it for a while, and nobody really realized when the student was becoming the master, right? And I think especially kind of last year, you really saw it, and people started recognizing it a little bit more. But even still, go back 2 years ago, and it was still like, hey, you know, McAvoy, young defenseman, learning from Chara. And that is true. It's not like he hasn't learned anything from him in 2 years, but I think as far as on-ice responsibility goes, there's a reason he's getting 23, 24 minutes a game. It's because he is the guy. So, yeah, I mean, it's been like that for a while. And maybe, I mean, obviously he doesn't have the same veteran presence that Chara did, or maybe the leadership in that sense, but there's still a lot that you can sympathize with and empathize with a young guy like Vaakanainen coming up, and McAvoy being, hey, I was in your shoes 2-3 years ago, not 200 or 300 years ago like Chara. So,
like just last week, you know,
there's value to that. Yeah.
And I get it. It's going to take some time for people to adjust to not seeing a 6'9" giant on the blue line. Now, I love Zdeno Chara. I should clarify this. Love the guy. One of the nicest people I've ever met and worked with. But, you know, like when people are like, oh, you know, they're so small now. It's like, well, I mean, Lauzon's like 6'2". That's 7 inches shorter than Chara. If you're measuring anyone against Chara,
yeah,
they're going to come up short. And then there's, you know, like Zboril's a normal sized human. Like, generally speaking, most other hockey players, they look normal size. They either are just really tall or really muscly. But you could see them on the street and not know that they played hockey is what I mean by that. And it, what really matters is, are they making the good plays or are they turning the puck over a bunch of times? And right now, the last two games, it seems like every defender has made some bad choices in one way or another. And that's going to happen because of how young the defense is and because of how, you know, strung out everything is with all the injuries. You don't necessarily expect Connor Clifton to come in and play a full season, though I believe he is capable of being a bottom pairing defender someplace in this league, but you don't expect him to come in and step up to the role that he's had to take on because Kevin Miller went down, Matt Grizzlick went down, Lauzon is out, and everyone else has had, you know, a night off, whether it's physically off because they're injured or just off because
they're John Moore.
I don't know why they aren't there.
The name is John Moore.
And that raises another great point. I feel like a lot of people are just taking things too hard on John Moore. I'm not saying he's good by any means.
Oh, no. He's a punching bag for no reason. He's totally fine.
And that's where I'm like, why do people just keep saying he's terrible? Because then they act so freaking surprised when he gets an assist or two assists like he did in the outdoor game. And it's like, yeah, no, that's what he contributes. In small amounts, he is as good as, if not better than, Steven Kampfer. I get that Kampfer scored a goal in the 2019 Eastern Conference Final, and everyone's like,
are people clamoring for Steve Kampfer?
Yeah, is that a thing that's happening?
Honestly,
in there ahead of John Moore.
Some people on Bruins Twitter are like, you got to put Kampfer in over Moore. And it's like, what are you doing?
The John Moore issue is just a joke,
not
because
working in the front office, which is fine.
Yeah, it's just because the John Moore contract is one of the most hilarious contracts ever given to a player in the NHL.
It is, but it's also, I still attain that it was kind of genius in a way, because if the cap had gone up,
galaxy brain,
it was going to be the same $2.75 million for those 5 years, and now it's a flat cap, so it doesn't really matter. It's like when the Bruins had to trade Adam McQuaid because they looked at McQuaid and Miller and said, well, we have two of the same defenders, really, where one's injured all the time and the other is injured all the time. We can only keep one of them and pay less ultimately. You get more to do that. And so to keep Miller
around, you
get
more for less.
Yeah, I'm like, wait.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, that money's crazy, though, for...
Oh, don't get me wrong.
For that period of time.
I mean, Chris, have you considered that he has two first names?
Defender.
I have not, because I'm not clear on who is named Moore.
You know, some Sir Moore something of Great Britain.
Moore, John.
Years ago. That would make sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. My degree is in communication.
So I did want to shout out Patrick Laverty for coming up with the hashtag Bruins Chuck Norris. getting Charlie McAvoy the Norris talk. Literally the only three tweets on all of Twitter with that hashtag are Patrick Laverty, hashtag Chuck Norris, let's get it trending. Which, I mean, not the best way to go about it, because, and then eventually he changed it to maybe it needs to be hashtag Bruins Chuck Norris or something.
Something to clarify.
And then he replied to one of our tweets with hashtag Bruins Chuck Norris. I love it. I want to.
No, I'm all in. We could make a T-shirt hashtag Bruins Chuck Norris. I don't know if we can do that legally.
Full credit to Patrick.
Yeah. You got Bruins before Chuck Norris, so I don't think you can sue you for that.
Brilliant stuff.
I love it. I'm all in on it. It's great.
Lancey, we gave our thoughts on this, I think, two weeks ago now, maybe? I think it was 2 weeks ago. But while we have you here, how are we feeling about McAvoy and the prospects of him stepping into the Norris Trophy conversation this season?
Well, we know that the Norris Trophy is mostly a participation trophy these days, and that Drew Doughty somehow won it. So it seems like it would be justified to have him in the conversation. I mean, the NHL just posted a few days ago on their social media, on Instagram specifically, they're like, oh, we'll pick all among these guys from each division, who's going to win the Hart and who's going to win the Norris? Because apparently the Norris is now the MVP of defenders, whereas the MVP of all skaters already exists. But anyway, it's hard for a defender to win the Hart is what I'm saying. But maybe McAvoy for the Hart. But, you know, will it be this pun there?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Might it be in the next 2 to 3 years? Sure, and it probably should be, because he has taken his game to the next level, and we've seen it just because of the free reign that he has now. He is the number one defender. There is no more Zdeno Chara that you just kind of by default say, yeah, it's him, even though it might or may not actually be him, given his age, speed, what have you. It's McAvoy's team from the blue line back. So he should be in the conversation, but I would probably go with someone like Jacob Slavin from the Carolina Hurricanes, or if, you know, Roman Josi just does something incredible for the Nashville Predators, who aren't that great right now, then give it to Josi again or what have you. But McAvoy, I appreciate that people are talking about him now, because as he continues to enter the prime of his prime, which is a redundant thing to say, but as he gets a little bit older and, you know, more into that true number one franchise defender that he already kind of is, but is continuing to become, then it would make sense. So maybe not this year. He should finish somewhere in the top five as things continue to go, but maybe next year. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like Victor Hedman for the Norris. People say it every year, but he's really only the best defender once in a while.
I was thinking this Sean Couturier thing for Selke, where like he got some love for like a few years, but was not like in the real conversation. And then eventually like got 1 year where Bergeron wasn't healthy for most of the year. And it was like, who are we going to give it that to? Way. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Just be like, how was your season versus everyone
else? The awards are very stupid, and they're usually stupidly awarded.
I'm sure we've had the talk about the PHWPA or whatever, not the PHWPA, but the Professional Hockey Writers Association, all that good stuff before.
Yeah,
should they write some of the things they
Writers
do?
Association, PHWA, sure.
I've had a beer.
PWHPA is the Professional Women's Hockey,
which was on tonight.
Association.
I was tuning in for a little bit as in their game at Madison Square Garden, the first time that they played there. So cool stuff.
All right. So speaking of Roman Josi,
yes, let's speak more Josi.
Who's the hottest NHL defenseman?
Well, if we want to talk about someone the Bruins absolutely need to get at the trade deadline, it's Matthias Ekholm, without a doubt. But he's not an earth-shattering defender, okay? I was talking about this with someone off of this podcast and even off Twitter. Wow, imagine that. Seems like all my friends are on Twitter now. But anyway, I was talking to someone about this, and I was mentioning, you know, Ekholm has got to be traded sometime this season because Nashville needs to tear things down. They're well past the expiration date. They need to tear down so they can build it back up. And Ekholm's got to be one of the first pieces to go. He's got this year, next year left on his contract. You might, if the Bruins try to get him, you might be like, I don't know what we do when Seattle comes calling to take one of the players. If you lose him, fine. If you keep him, even better. You want to try to get him like how you got Charlie Coyle in the 2019 trade deadline, not just a
run. Along with Marcus Johansson.
Yeah, but Johansson ended up leaving because, well, cap and everything didn't work out. But you want
to try I just mean you need to acquire Matthias Ekholm and Marcus Johansson in the same trade. Yeah, I'm back.
Three-team trade, you can make it work. Nashville loves to do that. They did that with Matt Duchene. So Ekholm would be it for me right now. But in terms of actually good defenders, still look at Carolina. Brett Pesce is making his way into this conversation. If we're talking about attractive-looking defenders...
There we go.
It's still Roman Josi.
Back off the rails.
Back off the rails, because we got to cover all the bases here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Roman Josi. I mean, I think you always got to throw PK Subban in the conversation there.
Definitely top five.
Jacob Chychrun in Arizona is another good one. And Eric Johnson in Colorado.
So I just Googled the sexiest NHL defenseman, which is going to do some bad things to my search history and my Google advertisements. So, I wanted an opinion from an expert, so I found one from
Sam Girard.
This is concerning Taylor. Her name is Taylor, but she spells it with an E, which I don't like. And
where does the E go?
Yeah, exactly. Instead of the A, T E Y L O R.
What if it was T A E L O R? That would make more sense to me.
I would make a little more sense.
If you just threw the E at the front and you said, "Oh, the E is silent."
So. Start to run W's in there. Fuck it. She believes Miles Wood, not because of the name, is number one.
This Miles Wood pissed us off like really early in the season. I honestly don't know what a lot of NHL players look like.
Yeah, I don't and I always either. That's why I had to Google it.
Is Miles Wood even a defender?
Oh, I didn't do defense management players, hence number two, Sidney Crosby, which seems like you're doing a little all-star bias.
So that makes more sense now.
Tom Wilson at number three. It's getting a little off the rails here.
Because if we're talking defenders from New Jersey, it would either be Subban or like Will Butcher.
Well, here's the thing. She had Henrik Lundqvist at number six, which is just objectively wrong because he should be number one. So.
Okay, real talk. If we want to break this down, hottest NHLers, I've got three categories. Dads, 35 and older. Team North America.
So Mike Fisher.
Stallions, you know, like 18 to 23. And then everyone else. So... let's go. Let's do it.
A lot of these choices, I believe, are very questionable.
Yeah. So, honestly, I'm like, Craig Smith's got to be like really high up there, right?
No, dude. I mean, when he's got all his teeth, at least, not unless you're into that.
Well,
I mean, you know?
Well, that's.
He doesn't have to have all his teeth. Have you seen his teeth? Right,
well, like, Claude Giroux and like Eric Johnson, they both have like the like retainer with the teeth on them just for, you know, you're going out teeth.
Yeah. When you're putting in your going out teeth.
So yeah, Craig Smith has that too. So
yeah, it's gonna be really interesting. Like, I like Pinto, and I remember everyone, like, and this is the thing that I think Sens fans need to start realizing. We need to stop looking at the draft. We really need to stop looking at a player being like, he was drafted way too early. You know who you can make an argument who was drafted way too late? Mark Stone. Sixth round pick, and now he's making $9.5 million. Pajot, drafted, I think, in the fifth round and making $5 million. Hoffman.
Welcome to the Sens Hour podcast, your number one source for Sens content, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, hosted by Shane from Ottawa and
Derek from Muskoka, almost near Leaf Country out here. But I think Klevin was right up there because they traded up to get him with the Leafs. And again, they passed up some talented players for a guy like Klevin. But now Klevin's all of a sudden looking like a talented player himself. Like that goal that he scored in the third game in UND was outrageous. It was just not something you're expecting from the Twitter scouts, especially.
Sens Hour Podcast, your number one stop for all your Senators content. New episodes coming at you every Monday and Thursday, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Have a good one. Stay safe.
Take care.
I hope you go listen to whatever that was, unless it's the Canadiens podcast.
That was Habs Nightly, like, actively, like, go to all your friends and tell them not to listen to that podcast.
Even if they're Habs fans. Yeah, every single, I don't know how you have Habs fans as friends, but
like that really good old commercial with the Bruin.
Never date within your division.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really great commercial. That was Nesson, I think, right?
No, that was just a Bruins commercial.
Or was it just a Bruins one?
Because they hired the Bear, an outside agency to make the Bear, and then Tampa Bay Lightning fans freaked out because he made a joke about Loch Ness Monster, Tampa Bay Lightning fans. And then after like one or two or three more seasons, they're like, I'm going to make the Bear disappear.
Yeah, and then they brought in
the animated The Bear and the Gang cartoon.
And that one too.
That was good. That was down. But
what's
for that.
The oh Blades? Blades is the free, mascot.
Yeah. I met Blades in L.A. for the All-Star game.
Nice. How was he?
Elevator guy? With Blades? Because I have.
I feel like Blades would be great in the podcast.
Blades.
Very talkative. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, once you load him up with a few, though, he's a tough shell to crack. But once you're in there.
Well, so that's the amazing thing is that. When you watch like Stinger and the NJ Devil on Twitch and how fast they type, it is incredible.
you say when you watch them, you know, like people do that.
Yeah. When you're doing that.
Hey, if you have nothing else to do on a weekday, like I sometimes all the time have, and I'm not, you know, doing anything, it can be comforting.
Happy pandemic, going on. Lancy.
Exactly.
Why is this beer warm? I don't
have a good chat.
It's not a good thing to have. You should probably, you gotta chug the rest of it now. I think that's a rule on the pie. If you say that beer is warm on the pie, yeah,
it's not warm. It's just like not ice cold.
It's not where you want it to be, in which case you gotta just, it's a sunk cost. You gotta just.
Have you ever heard the sunk cost fallacy?
Yes. It's a great fallacy. One of my favorites. My favorite logical fallacies. Like,
what are your top five favorite logical fallacies?
What are the others?
It's my party trick. I'm like, yo, top five logical fallacies, bro. Let's see it.
Straw man argument. That's pretty
straw
solid.
Man's up there. Ad hominem, you know.
Begging the question is a really good logical fallacy.
Oh, moving the goalposts, dude. Don't even get me fucking started about moving the goalposts. Are you two Grask haters? Fuck you guys.
Look, if he can lose a skate blade, he can do whatever he wants with the net. All I'm saying.
He can literally move
those goalposts are staying absolutely still,
drilled fucking in.
And that is often more
unless of yeah, unless of course voice. Chris Kreider's coming in.
Yeah, in which case
noted goalie attacker.
But I would love him on the Bruins though.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
Absolutely,
that's a Milan Lucic thing there, where like,
hey, Lucic.
I mean, as long as you can kill any goalie as long as it's not our goalie.
I respect the, don't let Kat catch you saying that. You should never go on the podcast, Ian.
Oh, shit.
The Leafs and Oilers game tonight, there was Tyler Ennis ran into Jack Campbell, and it was just hilarious watching Leafs Twitter explode and be like, Tyler Ennis never played here before. Like, forget him. He's dead to us now. And it's like, guys, I'm pretty sure that was intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't great. Don't get me wrong. If I had the goalie, I'd be pissed off. But I could understand sometimes when, you know.
You also understand not being the goalie in that
and
situation.
And not being able to stop.
Cool roundtable. Right? What team do you most associate Tyler Ennis with?
I still think of him as Buffalo or Minnesota.
I'm a Sabres.
But that's because Sabres, like, my roommate in college was a Sabres fan, so. I learned the Sabres rosters from 2013 through 2017.
My current roommate is a Sabres fan, so
Yeah, one of my best friends from home is a Sabres fan, and it's tough. You know, I got our group there is it's me being the Bruins fan, and then a Kings fan, and then a Sabres fan. And the Kings and the Bruins have had their share of success. He was an OG Kings fan, pre-Stanley Cup and stuff too, despite being from New York. And
I see that my reboot has not changed the
No, yeah, you're still in still in Seahorse Sea Hell, the quote.
No man's land.
Very famous YouTube video.
To quote Dan Deacon.
Chris is actually 20,000 leagues under the sea. He's Captain Nemo.
Seahorse Sea Hell.
I love things with seashells on them.
See, I had a speech impediment that I probably still will mess up a bunch of S's if I say them consecutively. So I'm not even going to attempt that.
Very fair.
Well, okay, so what's your favorite line from Drinking Out of Cups?
Oh, man. Like, which one do I personally value the comedic value of the most, or which one do I use the most in conversation?
Both. Give me both.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to think about this for a little while, I think.
So mine's... the one that I use the most is, whose chair is that?
Whose chair is that?
Not my chair, definitely. Not my problem. That's what I say.
Not my chair, not my problem.
But I think that's my favorite line is, Mr. Balloon Hands. Mr. Balloon
Down Me. That's the one. Mr. Walk Down Me on the walkway.
That's easy number building. Three.
That's my favorite.
Is lead me to the building. Fuck you. Mr. Balloon Hands.
5-6-4-3, yeah, right.
Mr. Balloons for Hands. Yeah.
Captain Tying Knots.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, this has been Chris and Cam recount a very popular YouTube video from like 10 years ago that Lance has not seen.
Not really a YouTube guy. I'm just starting to get into watching people.
It's a cultural
react to
it's
things.
A cultural icon, Lance. You gotta catch up on it.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good.
Chris, I'm honestly just glad that Seahorse Sea Hell ended with somebody because I'm just like, I mean, I'm gonna sound like an absolute fucking lunatic.
It's an all-time video.
I've spent my time doing equally as useless shit, putting spreadsheets together of the most random hockey things you can think of.
So the guy who made that video is like a pretty successful musician.
Really?
Yeah. I had one of his songs on my like top songs of the year last year playlist. Yeah, just like
you love to see it.
Is it like a Drinking Out of Cups remix?
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's a pretty good musician, and like that whole video was
shout out. What's his name? I want to
Dan Deacon. All right, man, what's the song? It's like Become a Mountain, I think is what it's called.
I do like mountains.
Oh, that guy. That makes more sense now.
I'll be all right.
Yep, it's called Become a Mountain. It's a great song. Check it out.
Become a Mountain. I'm just going to queue it up so next time I turn on music, it's going to come on and I'm going to be like,
See, I've been listening to Chris's playlist every other night, it seems, like when I go to bed. Not that it puts me asleep, like, this is boring, but like, because it helps put
but
me
it's a nice thing to...
In a state of whatever my mind goes to whenever I hit certain songs where I'm like, hey, this is nice. I'm going to chill here. And then I dream.
Thinking of Chris.
hell yeah. Oh. As one should.
I dream of being in this moment right now on the podcast. My mental state of zen.
Yeah, I do a lot of playlists. I put together a bunch of shit. I love having mood playlists.
I do a lot of Bruins warm-up playlists. I just go to the game, write it down in my mind, and then make it.
I mean, all you got to do to make a Bruins warm-up playlist is look at, like, the...
A lot of Skrillex.
Yeah, I guess I haven't been to a game in a while, but last time I went to a game, like, all you got to do is, like, look out the for, like, the 2005 to 2008... Like
those are the Andrew
like hot rock songs on like the Billboard charts, like the mainstream rock charts.
Yeah, so it's changed a little bit since then.
Not as much Seether anymore.
Yeah, they're really into Bible music now.
They love their good old Switchfoot. And
hey, Switchfoot, San Diego locals.
Yeah, shout out Switchfoot. Actually grew up listening to them. Something I have in common with Adam McQuaid, but
I grew up listening to the one Switchfoot song that everybody knows, and that's about it. Which they one is actually that? They did a live stream of the entire Beautiful Letdown album, which they've never played every song live before, but they're like, we're doing this because we got nothing else to do, and that album's like 18 years old now. So that song being Meant to Live.
Yeah, hold on. I need to play.
They cut it off.
I can play that on guitar, fun fact. Drop D tuning.
I got a little nervous when Zoom asked me, are you playing music?
Actually?
Yeah, came up at the top.
Didn't even notice that.
I think just for me.
It was probably just trying to not make you embarrassed in front of your bosses.
No, like it says set up professional audio in audio settings.
Oh, in that case.
I think it was asking if I'm playing music, which I mean, if I sound like Switchfoot,
you do look a little bit like Chad Butler. You got that going.
I'm not sure whether to be impressed or worried that you know the lead singer's name.
No, Chad Butler is the drummer, actually.
Jesus, that's even worse.
that's more Lancey, though.
And fun fact, I can name all the guys in Coldplay. Most people don't know anyone else. That doesn't
surprise me at all.
So Lancey, I have a task. I have a goal for you. I don't know. It's a challenge.
Is it to get upset?
We have to give Lancey more tasks from this podcast because we've already tasked him with like going back, listening through all of the episodes and
find the ratings,
giving us our ratings.
Yeah,
and putting it into chart form.
As we continue to just dig it further and further.
As we take
a week off so we can get caught up.
Yeah, as we have not paid Lancey any money for this so far.
It's fine. I don't get paid by anyone at all, so it makes no difference.
Technically, it would be a pretty big difference percentage wise.
It would. Stable income going from zero to like $5.
I was going to ask Lancey something. I don't really forget.
Are we meant to live for so much more?
Have we lost ourselves?
That was not it.
Yeah, you get a little bit of the allegory of the cave in there, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. I got it back. All right, Lancey. So I have a buddy from college who big time, like, you remind me of
sick
him,
brag, man.
Like the hockey version.
Your friends from college.
you like the hockey version of him. He's like a baseball encyclopedia. So much so to the point that if you just give him a year, it's like his party trick. He can just tell you who won the World Series, who they beat, how many games. Like 1902, he's like, oh, fucking... I don't know, but you know,
yeah,
fucking
bad thing. When I learned about Baseball Reference, I started looking those things up so I could be that guy too.
FanGraphs is way better.
It is, but
so one of my, I'd be interested to know if Lancey could do this for hockey. I have a fantasy baseball league, and we're all like college friends, and like we just started a league and everything. Not to brag, but I have college friends too. When the pandemic started and we didn't have baseball going on, we started playing this the Baseball Reference game, where basically you pull up somebody's Baseball Reference page and you just by looking at it try to guess who it is.
You'd be like, guess who this is? Tony Conigliaro.
Yeah, you just get you get the teams that this person played for, and you get like all their stats, and you try and figure out who it is. I'd be interested. Exactly. Like we got pretty good at it as a group. It's more of a group thing.
It's like Schlem Code, but not
a little
infringe
bit.
Infringe on Puck Soup too much.
Yeah, I feel like we infringe on Puck Soup plenty, but
I feel guilty of infringing on every hockey podcast.
Schlem Code is more like,
that's why I haven't done it in 3 weeks.
It's more competitive. Like you're playing against someone else and you're like, okay, you go back and forth trying to guess who this person is. It's more of like first person to guess the name gets it, but also like collaboratively, you're just trying to get it. So like we just have like the group chat and like someone posts the screenshot of the Baseball Reference page, and like everyone's just going back and forth, like trying to figure out what it is. But yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in like, I definitely couldn't do hockey because like, I just don't have the like
saying the wrong words, my friend.
are we starting this game now?
I mean, we just might.
I did mention earlier, I looked up rosters from the years that we like to forget in Bruins history. So,
I mean, honestly, you could probably paste a whole roster from like anywhere between
2006, 2007,
between like 2000 and 2008, and I would not get it.
I actually have a bone to pick with David Krejci. It's not a huge bone to pick with David Krejci. He's got no goals so far, even though he's been shooting more later in his career. 0 goals in 15 games played prior to injury. So that's
what's his shots per game right now?
Didn't look that one up because
I'll look it up real quick.
I was looking at other things as I remembered that Krejci hasn't scored yet this season. So I did write that down because then I ultimately was like, hey, if you want to complain about Tuukka Rask having a 2.86 goal against average right now,
David Krejci, 1.53 shots per game this season. Not great.
Which just tells you something about the second line. You got to get Ekholm, and then you got to get still a right wing to play with David Krejci. You got to get Krejci now.
I mean, I think it's Craig Smith. I think it might be Craig Smith. I would love Craig Smith playing with Charlie Coyle, but
our beautiful Lord and Savior, Craig Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I made that Photoshop of the Jonas Brothers, except it's it's Nick Ritchie, David Krejci, and Craig Smith. So like, come on, Bruce,
it has to work.
Give it to me.
It has to work. Well, that's all I got on Krejci so far. Other than what if he gets traded? Will Chris, you know, just like quit liking the Bruins altogether?
I'll crumble and die. I don't know. I'm not the type of person who's just
like he'd get traded, but it's always a possibility.
Yeah, I'm not the type of person who's like, okay, the Bruins have lost two really bad games in a row without David Krejci, so I'm gonna like jump up and down and be like, we need David Krejci back, but. I mean, come on, guys.
It's a glimpse at the future. Nice. It's how much he meant to the team.
No, I think for me, the games were like, all right, we need to know what having a second line with Charlie Coyle on it looks like, what having a third line with Jack Stanika on it looks like. And honestly, it looks fine to me. I think it's more...
The centers are fine. It's the wingers that need to get going. Yeah. So you need to like...
I think it's wing depth. I think it's just defensive injuries, so...
My final complaint, and I'll keep this short, is that if you're going to keep playing Anders Bjork and not getting anything from him, why do you have Greg McKegg on your taxi squad when you could have at least had Zach Schenison on your taxi squad from the start of the season? Whereas now you call him up, you got this whole issue with waivers. If you go to send him back down, like if you're going to replace Bjork with McKegg at some point, and you're thinking that's going to get you at least a goal, yikes.
I appreciate that we're actually talking hockey right now. I'm not mad at Anders Bjork. I don't think
I'm not mad at him either. I think he's fine as a
fifth liner. I don't think he's being asked to do a lot from a scoring standpoint. I think he's really good from a possession standpoint on that fourth line, on the third line a little less so. But yeah, I mean, if you're asking him to be,
if you're trying to get someone to score,
if you're asking him to be Jake DeBrusque of 2 years ago, like, no, he's not that. And I don't think he has that potential anymore. I think right now we're looking at like a dude who might be a really good fourth liner. But
so PJ Axelsson, but he wears 10 instead of 11.
Because I like the number 10. It's my sports number.
It's really great.
Good 10.
It looks it's the number tremendous. I used to wear like a 1924-25 jersey.
I used to wear the one hanging behind Lancey.
Hey, 88 in every sport or just in hockey?
Dale Jr.
I was 10 in baseball. I was 86 and 44 in football.
Play football. I didn't know that.
In middle school, I didn't play football in high school.
And 9. I wore 7. Deck hockey, I wore 1, 3, 6 a couple times.
Basketball, I was 3.
7. I wore 7 once. As here's a
the ASMR people want.
Yeah.
I played like
emergency just reading backup numbers.
Someone else wore 7 and got an assist, so it went to me unofficially, but officially. It's weird. Sorry, I just remembered that.
Yeah, that, folks.
Yeah. On the ski team, I was 2, but that's because that's the number I was running, not the number I chose.
I knew a guy that did ski team and convinced another guy he wasn't on indoor track, even though he was on indoor track that year. It's a long story. We'll get into another time.
Cool. All right, tune in next week for Lancey's story.
Long story for another time.
Incredible. We have show. A song.
All right.
Well, I feel like if we did
we were meant to live so much more, but we lost ourselves.
See, I'm more of a Native Tongue guy. You know, their most recent 11th album.
All right, go for it.
About 2019. No, I don't sing. I'm horrible. You did a great job, Chris. Major props. Well done.